20.
Good morning. It's always good to be here on Sunday morning. I know that last week I talked about how appreciative I was of this time and how I always feel incredibly comfortable with this time of the week where you feel that this is where we need to be. This is where you need to be. This is where you need to be. This is where God wants you to be. And so I get that overwhelming feeling of peace and joy and knowing that we are doing the will of the Father when we come together. With that said, I also feel often a sense of angst, anxiety towards things that I may not be so certain of. And I don't know if you feel this as well, but I sometimes think about and anticipate what might happen, and I become anxious. Y'all ever do that? You ever become anxious over something that never actually happens? You ever done that before? You know? I think everybody probably has, right? I think we've all felt a sense of anxiety, and we're thinking, well, you know, this could happen, or this could happen, or that could happen, and just by thinking about it, we just become overwhelmed with the idea that something's going to happen, and I'm really the kind of person that likes to try to anticipate things. You know, if I'm going to go somewhere or do something, or especially even Sunday mornings, I think through the whole process, and I think through, okay, so I've got my, you know, my tablet is charged up, it's got all my notes on it, it's good to go. I've got my remote here, and it's got batteries in it, and I'm thinking the whole time, all week long, I'm thinking, I've got to do that. And when I get out of that routine, you know, that to me is really stressful, because I come up here and I'm thinking, I know I forgot something, you know. Maybe I didn't even upload my notes to my tablet or something like that. This happened before, by the way. But that whole idea, just the thought and the anticipation of something that might happen, creates a tremendous amount of anxiety. And in fact, there's actually a term for it. It's called anticipatory anxiety. So they've termed it. So that's how common it is. In fact, it's one of the more common sources of anxiety when people are just thinking about what could possibly happen. And in the moment, as they're thinking about it, they just become overwhelmed and thinking and wondering and losing sleep and just having all of the momentary peace that they could have, all the momentary joy just gets robbed of a person because of the constant anticipation of what may happen in the future. How often have you been anxious when all of your needs have been met? Okay, how often have you been anxious with all of your needs already met? In other words, how often have you sat in your home? And, you know, let's say we're just doing something mundane. We're just watching TV. You've had a good meal. You're enjoying the cool air conditioning, and you're just sitting in your home, and you just feel anxious. And you're like, oh, I don't know where that feeling's coming from. And I do that sometimes, and I've got to pause for a moment. I've got to think to myself, you know, Sean, you have everything. Right? I mean, everything you need, everything is right here. You have your food, you have a home, you know, your family is here, everything's okay. And I have to remind myself, everything is okay. Stop being so anxious. Everything is okay. That doesn't always work because I don't always listen to myself, but I have to remind myself of that constantly. And I believe that a lot of people feel that way. Things like stress and anxiety and worry, these kinds of things, they often just rob us of today's joy, today's peace. The peace we should be enjoying in the moment, like right now, you should be enjoying peace. You should be enjoying joy. just right now, just sitting here and having fellowship with one another and listening to God's word and singing songs of praise, just this moment, you need to be right here in this moment. This moment needs to be a moment of peace and a moment of joy. Don't worry about what happened. Don't worry about what's going to happen just right now. But we don't always do that. We don't always do that. And we allow either the past or the future to steal the present peace that God desires for us to have. And what I thought was really interesting as I was thinking through this lesson this week, that how often we are surprised at things that we shouldn't be surprised at. You know, and I hear it's the news all the time. They're always surprised about everything. You know, summertime comes along and it's 100 degrees outside. You know, it's never been this hot before. It's always this hot. You know, I mean, who's surprised about that except for the weatherman? And you think about the news and you think, you know, they're talking about leaders of countries and they say, well, that person did this and it was self-serving. And you're thinking, well, yeah. That's the way they always do things. You know, nothing really changes, but we're surprised about leaders who are self-serving and do things that are self-serving. We are surprised about countries who go to war. You know, that surprises us for some reason. We're surprised when we hear about a new killing or shooting or a murder, and we think, oh, I can't believe that. And we're surprised by that. We're surprised when we hear that people are being persecuted for their faith. There are so many things that we're surprised by that we really shouldn't be surprised by, right? These are things that we can just anticipate, and we can say, you know what? I know it's going to happen. I know that there will be leaders out there who are not going to serve the people, they're going to serve themselves. I know that countries are going to go to war. I know that people are being persecuted for their faith, that I know that these things happen. I know that people kill other people, and for some reason we're still surprised by these times in history, these moments where people do things that we should not be surprised at all. Do you remember in Ecclesiastes chapter 1? This is where we began this lesson as we've been studying through this book. And the writer starts off by telling us that all things are wearisome. And then he says, man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. In verse 9, that which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. And we say that phrase a lot, right? There's nothing new under the sun, you know, because we know that. But we're still shocked. We're still surprised. And we still look at things as if they were new. And we still get anxious and we anticipate and we get worried and we get stressed. And I think it would benefit us greatly if we would come back to passages like this one and just recognize that this is the way things have always been. That things have always been this way. There have always been problems with leadership. There have always been wars. There have always been murders. There have always been people who would steal and people who would deceive. And the world has always seemingly functioned this way. That it's not something that we should be anxious about or surprised about because it has always been. And the writer's just simply pointing out that, you know, under the sun, nothing changes. It's always this way. It always has been, it always will be, that there's nothing new under the sun, but that doesn't stop us from worrying about it, does it? That doesn't stop us from being surprised about events in our lives. You know, we get surprised by events in our lives. And it doesn't stop us from worrying about the future, right? Something we cannot see and something we cannot control, but yet we spend today worrying so much about the future. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to open to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and this passage of Scripture is probably one of the more well-known passages in Ecclesiastes. In fact, you've probably heard it a number of times. You may have even heard it on the radio, you know, 1965, the Birds song about this, and now that song's stuck in your head, so you're welcome. But you may have heard it in other areas as well, but very common, very popular. So let's go ahead and read that. This is chapter 3, Ecclesiastes, verse 1. He says, there is an appointed time for everything. There is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And then he says in verse 5, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, time to embrace, time to shun embracing, time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Nothing new under the sun, right? These are things that every generation sees and experiences. These are things that happen, and they're going to continue to happen. They've happened in the past. They'll happen in the future. They've happened in our present day, that they are going to continue to happen, that these are things that just are. There are times, there are seasons, there are things that we should already anticipate and already expect. We know that they're going to happen, that there will continue to be babies born into the world. We know that, right? We know until the day that Jesus returns and puts a stop to all of the reality in which we currently know, that there will be babies born into the world, that we know that people will die, that is an expected thing. We know that there will be wars. We know that there will be times where we will have peace and times where we will have chaos, that we know this ahead of time, and we should be anticipating in some degree that these things are going to take place. And I do think that in anticipation and being anxious about it are can be different things. Okay, I think we can anticipate things in such a way where we're mentally prepared for it. You know, if there's going to be a famine, we can anticipate that and we can prepare for it. We don't have a lot of famines around here, but you know what I'm saying. You know, if there's going to be a time when I know that I won't be able to do what I do, then I anticipate that and plan for the future. But then there's another way in which that anticipation can just become an overwhelming sense of dread and stress, to where I can't even function right now because I am just so worried about the thing that's going to happen in the future. And the writer is saying that there's a season, there's a time for these things, and it's going to happen, that is how the world works. Look at verse 11. Oh, I lost my... Well, there you go. See, I'm just talking about making sure the batteries are good, and my batteries have completely died on this little device. Okay. See, I didn't anticipate that. All right. Well, I kind of did, but I apparently not well enough. All right. So if you want to follow along, verse 11, he says, he has made everything appropriate in its time. He's also set eternity in their hearts, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. Right? We don't know. That's really the bottom line. We don't know. We don't know, but God does know. We don't know what the future holds, but God does. We don't know what's going to happen, but God does know what happened. He is the one who has made everything appropriate in its time. Now, your translation may use the word beautiful, but it's the idea of making it appropriate, making it right. It's right for its time. It's beautiful. I think it's a good term. I don't know if it really captures what the writer is trying to say, but he is saying that God has made everything appropriate for his time. He has put things in motion. From the beginning of time, God has put these things in motion. He has brought forth the time frame, the idea, the concept of time into the minds of people. And he's put it in our mind, put it in our heart, or at least we have it there to try to understand time and eternity and timelessness. How do you understand timelessness? I don't know how to understand that. How do you understand being outside the restraints of time? I don't really have anything to go by. I don't really have any kind of framework to build my psyche around this idea of being outside the restraints of time. Where God is, where God created all things, where God put all things in motion, where God created time itself for the people of the earth, where God actually put the sun and the moon in the sky and made the days and the nights, and he created weeks and years, and God created time for the human family, but yet the human family sits and looks and lives within the restraints of time. And we worry about the past and we worry about the future and we think about today, but God lives outside of that. He's timeless. And we try so hard to understand that. We sit there and we think, how is God timeless? How has he? And I don't know if you've lost sleep over this. I'm kind of weird about things like this because sometimes I wake up 3 o'clock in the morning and I think, how has God always existed? I struggle with those ideas. I don't know if you ever meditate on that or think about that, but how has God ever always existed? He doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. How's that possible? Timelessness, eternity. How can God be timeless? And we think about those things, but even the writer recognizes that, you know, it's kind of in vain to really try to understand timelessness when we live in such a world that is so confined by the laws of time. It's difficult for even to wrap our head around because God has created time. He lives beyond time, but yet he communicates to us through time. And we sit here and we ponder that and we struggle with it because we are so enslaved to it. We're so enslaved to the fact that we're born into this world. We're so enslaved to the fact that we're going to grow up and we're going to go through stages, seasons of our life where we're young and we're little, we're under our parents' household, and we grow up and we move on from there and we get married and we have kids and we have all these different times and seasons in our lives. And it just keeps going forward and progressing, and we all know where it's going to end. It's going to end with eventually all of us perishing and dying. And we know that. We're so enslaved to the confines of time and the different seasons of our life, right? And we all go through them, don't we? We all go through seasons. You know, many of us have shared seasons in our life. We have shared times in our life. We share experiences, and we can kind of talk about those and think about those shared experiences. And we've all grown up at different periods of time in history where a person can go and see somebody or meet somebody who is of the same age, and we can look back and we say, hey, do you remember when? Right? We do that a lot, don't we? And do you remember when that happened? Where were you when this was taking place? Where were you when you were this age? And we discuss those different times and seasons in our life as we move through time, and maybe we have shared experiences that are not as common. You know, maybe some of us have been to war and we recognize that there is a bond between those who've experienced that, and people sit together and they discuss that season in their life. And it's a shared time. And there are other things that we can think about that are in that same vein, but that's the idea. Some of us currently are parents. That's a time in your life right now. Right? That's an appointed time. That's a season in your life. That's who you are. That's what you're doing. You're being a parent. Right? You're not being a parent, but you're being a parent, if you know what I mean. But you're here and you're a parent, and you're living that out, and that's what your focus is. But we, even in that season of life, we become so incredibly anxious, right? It takes away from that time that we have been appointed. And we say, you know what, I know that I'm a parent, but I also need to do this, and I also need to do that, and I need to think about this, and I need to prepare for this, and I need to make sure that this happens, and I need to, you know, think about college and all this other stuff. And we think so much, and we anticipate so much, and we have anticipatory anxiety about things that are going to happen. We know they're going to happen, but we worry about it so much that we miss out on that one moment in time that we need to be present. You know, I always tell you that when we come together and I encourage you to put aside worldly cares and focus on what's going on, focusing on worshiping our Heavenly Father, I do that because it's so incredibly easy It's so incredibly easy to try to be timeless and try to think beyond or think behind and be focused in living in that moment mentally and be completely absent in the present. Right? We all do it. But even as parents, that's a time that is ours. God has appointed that time for you. And if you're not careful, you'll be living in the past or living in the present, and you'll be absent in the moment. Or maybe you're a grandparent, right? Maybe God has appointed that for you, that's it. That's where you are right now. You're a grandparent, and you have grandkids, and that is your focus. But even that can be robbed of you. Your joy and your peace of that moment, your joy and peace that comes with that season in your life can be robbed from you if you're living in the past or you're living in the future and you're absent in the moment. That we need to be mindful of the fact that where you are is where you need to be. Maybe you're still working, and that's where you're at. Or maybe you're retired, and that's the season that you're living in. Maybe you're healthy, and maybe you're not healthy. Maybe you're sick. Those different periods in our life, we all seem to experience different times, but that's where you are. That's where you are. There's no point in trying to control the past. There's no point in trying to control the future because you cannot do that. You are not timeless. You are not God. You don't have that ability. You don't have that power. You don't have that control. The only thing you can do is live in the moment, the time that God has allotted you to live. And that's the only thing that you have any kind of power over, is to actively live in the moment. You have control, not of time, but of your response. You have control of your response. You respond to whatever you are going through in the present, whatever season you live in, whatever time you're in. That's it. You respond to that. Whether it's a positive response or not so positive response, or whether we try to be absent from the moment, those are choices we make. We make a choice to respond, but we don't make a choice to be there. Right? Because a lot of things that happen to us in life, a lot of seasons we go through, a lot of experiences were beyond our control. We didn't anticipate them. We didn't know they were going to happen. We end up in them, and we wake up one morning and we think, this is where I'm at. And all you can do is respond. And the response that has to be appropriate for the time has to be in line with the fear of God. All right? When you respond to whatever season you're currently living in, whatever it is, you know, parent or grandparent or working or retired or healthy or unhealthy, we respond first off with the fear of the Lord. That's our first response. You respond with trust and commitment. They probably go hand in hand, but I'm separating them for our mental thinking. Trust and commitment, that we trust God, that we're committed to God regardless of what season we find ourselves in. When you're a parent, you trust God, right? When you're a grandparent, you trust God. If you're working, retired, you trust God. If you're healthy, if you're not healthy, you trust God. And you respond with wisdom. So those three things, fear of the Lord, faith, trust, commitment, that bundle, and responding with an incredible amount of trust, incredible amount of wisdom that comes along with learning and knowing how God desires for you to live. And that's what we've been talking about this whole summer, isn't it? Is the wisdom of God and living by wisdom. And we've been reading through Ecclesiastes to help us understand how life works and how things function. And we read through Proverbs and we start reading about the ideal reality of things. And we say, yes, that's how things should be. And then we get to this chapter and this book and we say, well, that's not how things always are. All of that is the wisdom that God wants you to use to live out whatever season in life that you are currently living in. But think about how much stress can be removed from your life if you just trusted? How much stress can be removed from your life if you just embraced the moment? Just right now. Just embrace this. This is the only thing you know. It's the only thing that's certain. This is the only thing that's tangible. This is the only thing that you can see and you can touch and you can experience is right now. This is it. How much stress can you remove from your life if you just lived right now? Not worried about the past and not worried about the future, but just lived in the moment. Where you are. This appointed time in your life where God has an appointed a particular time for you to live in. Look at verse 12. He says, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all of his labor. It is the gift of God. Now look at verse 14. Verse 14, he says, I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it. There is nothing to take away from it. For God has so worked that men should fear him. That which is has been already. That which will be has already been. For God seeks what has passed by. What God does will remain forever. The timelessness of God, the providence of God, the foreknowledge of God, the ability of God to see past, present, and future simultaneously, and to so work in the lives of human family that we just stand back and we are just in awe of what he does. And the reason we're so in awe of it is because we kind of would like to be in his place, right? I mean, there are times when I think, you know, if I could just know what was going to happen, I would be able to effectively plan right now and prepare for that moment in my life, right? That's how I think. That's at least how my mind works. I think, you know, if I could just know ahead of time, then I can avoid the anxiety, I can avoid the stress, that I can just plan ahead and I can deal with that situation when it comes because I know right now that it's going to happen. The problem is that's not true. That's not true. For one, there are too many variables for me to even begin to comprehend how I need to respond right now. It's too much going on. Only God can see that. Only God knows that. Only God is able to know every moment and every second and every action and reaction. God is the only one that has the capacity to understand that. And secondly, even if I did know, I would still be anxious, right? I would be overwhelmed. It would be hard. Just knowing something was going to happen would be overwhelming to me to where I would be robbed of everything that the present has to offer. So even if I had that ability, I would still struggle with comprehending and responding to the action in which God has put in motion. I don't know how to handle that. How do you handle the timelessness of God? I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus speaks on the matter of trust and commitment and worry and anxiety in this chapter. I want to spend a little time here looking at Jesus' words. He says in verse 25 of chapter 6, this is, of course, a larger part of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Right? And there's two ideas here. One, if your whole life is consumed by these basics, you know, if your whole life is consumed about what you're going to eat and what you're going to look like and what you're going to put on and where you're going to go, that it can completely consume you and it can take away the faithfulness, the commitment that you should be having on God because you're so worried about those mundane, everyday things, right? And so those things right there are things that Jesus says, don't focus on those things. Don't be so worried about those things. Don't allow those things to steal your joy. Look at verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not worth more? Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? right? But we still worry about it. I mean, I don't know why that is, but we still are anxious. We still worried about it, worrying about what we're going to eat and worrying about what we're going to wear and worrying about where we're going to go and where we're going to live. And we're so concerned. And Jesus points out, you know, look at creation. Look what God has done. Look what he has appointed for the animals in his creation. Look what he did for the birds. Right? Through his wisdom, his foreknowledge, his providence, look what God has accomplished. And here you are, much more important than they, and you're sitting here and you're worried about that kind of stuff. And you're so concerned about that kind of stuff. And he asks kind of a rhetorical question. He says, by worrying about that, has any of you added any time to your life? Anybody feel like they've gained some life points, right? Anybody add 10 years to your life for worrying about stuff? You know, in fact, I think it would be the opposite, you know, what we know about stress. We're probably taking time away, you know, just by concerning ourselves and stressing out over it. We're losing life points, right? I mean, we're dying more quickly because we're so worried about dying more quickly, and it's redundant, and we do that. Why? Jesus is saying, don't do that. The writer of Ecclesiastes is saying, don't do that. Don't do these things. Look at verse 28. He says, and why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Now, Jesus is not telling us to quit our job or quit planning for the future or quit being responsible. That's not what his point is. But he is saying that don't sit here in the midst of your work, in the midst of your family, in the midst of all that you're doing presently. Don't sit here and just be so overwhelmingly worried about the future because God has that under control. And there's nothing that you can do to change it. Remember the writer of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing you can do to add to it. There's nothing that you can do to take away from it. That what God has appointed, what God has established, what God has put in motion, it's timeless. Don't think for a moment that you can control it. Don't think for a moment that you can manipulate it. Don't think for a moment. All you can do is live within it and respond to it, and don't allow it to rob you of your joy. Look at verse 31. Do not worry then, saying, what will you eat, or what will you drink, or what will you wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Right? As disciples of Jesus, our Father knows we need this stuff. We need it, but we ought not to be worried about it. You know, we talked a little bit about giving and how the church functioned in the first century, about how they used the funds of the church. And what we read often is the church took care of the church. The church took care of the church. People took care of people. That there weren't any needy people in the first century church. That everybody took care of everybody else. And that is how God is going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. God's people will take care of you. God will take care of you. Look at verse 33. He says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But I want you to specifically and intentionally look at verse 34 and just allow this to enter your mind and your heart and be established and rooted. He says in verse 34, so do not worry about when? Tomorrow. I'm always worried about tomorrow. But Jesus says, don't be worried about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. And this is particularly enlightening to me. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen? Oh, isn't that so true? Each day has enough trouble of its own, right? Your response to whatever time, whatever season of life that you're in, you're currently living in, is the only thing that you have control over. You don't have control over time. You don't have control over the season of life that you're currently living in. You don't have control over the future. Don't have control over the past. You are not timeless. You are not God. You cannot add to or take away what God has already put in motion. You do not have that power, but you do have the power to respond appropriately to the things God has already put into motion. If you're a parent, continue to fear God, right? If you're a grandparent, what do? Continue to fear God. That's what you have control over. If you're sick, continue to fear God. If you're healthy, continue to fear God. Continue to trust, put your faith in Him. Continue to apply wisdom to whatever season in life that you're currently living in. That is what God desires of you. Whatever season of life you are living in right now, live in it. Live in it. Live in that season. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble. Today has enough trouble. But don't worry about tomorrow's trouble. Worry about today. Live in the moment and live in the fear of the Lord. If there's anybody here this morning who has struggled with their walk with Jesus because they're just so overwhelmed and so anxious and so stressed about things that might possibly happen, let that go. And if you need help with that and you need the prayers of this congregation, we're here for you to pray for you and encourage you and strengthen you to help you to continue that walk. Or maybe you haven't even started the walk. Maybe you aren't even a part of the family of God. Then you need to begin that walk today by coming forward and being baptized into Jesus and becoming of this part of this family that belongs to Jesus. Whatever your needs are, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.